Live. Good evening, everybody, and welcome to our hopefully still regular Wednesday stream. We've set these up, we've been doing kind of bits and pieces of them, but we're hoping to keep this going as a thing since we have so many things to cover.
I think that's partially also hello.
Yes, hello.
I think that's also partially the problem we have sometimes. It's not so much that there is so much to do, it's finding a way to do it and also present it in a way we're happy with. I mean, we could sit and do like a 90-minute stream most nights of the week and just talk about the stuff we would otherwise like write tweets and things about, and some people would probably enjoy that and there would be good things that would come out of it, but I think we benefit from, you know, pre-drawing up a scope about something, sometimes having at least a week, if not longer, to sort of ruminate on it, and then, you know, finding some form of content that best suits it.
Most of our stuff needs to be run through what I would describe as the de-guffinator. We need to get rid of a lot of the guff sometimes in things. Like what we do is we see things on social media, or we see things on news sites, or we see things that other people talk about. We'll document them in like the massive research Discord we've got. We'll pair those down to documents. We'll edit those documents and expand those out into notes. And then that's how these streams get formed. That's why they are how they are. That basically used to be the workflow for like the actual good episodes of Dumping with Scrump, where there would actually be like a Google Doc. That got increasingly rare, though, as some people did notice during some of the death throes of that show. So I'm quite glad to be carrying on the spirit of the more researched focus aspect of what I used to do.
Yeah, Harry G, man, two shows a day.
We're
going to a premium D-Live stream that like four people will pay for and it'll last like 8 minutes.
Yeah, I'm going to make 17 10-minute videos about some e-girl. Because my name is Tim Pool, a.k.a. The Quartering, a.k.a. everyone on YouTube.
Oh,
is,
please,
is...
let's just not. Let's just not.
Let's drama stream. Drama stream. No,
anyway,
no.
Thank you to all the usual people who show up and are enjoying these streams in what seems to be ever-increasing numbers at the moment, which is very good. So please do share things around, and whenever you see people talking about some subject that we have covered and they are not doing it justice, please do direct them towards us and the content that we've made. Now, thank you to the people who are the members, people that donate, super chats and super stickers, and most importantly, the Streamlabs, because they don't take a massive cut off.
No, they don't take as much cut on the Streamlabs, even though I don't know, we've not had a Streamlabs one for a little bit, but I also just think that people have kind of gone off. No, we have. We have been a couple of weeks ago.
Did get one last super chat at the end of last week, which we didn't read out, which is from Enrieb.
Yeah, I'm just quickly refreshing to make sure we have got everything here. But
he said, great works, thanks, and chucked us a tenner for the Prism stream, which a lot of people seem to enjoy.
Yes, in chat saying, Prezilag, but I know it's terrible. Like I said, if you want to see them, do interact in some way. That'll make sure you do actually see them.
Yes,
it's
please,
just the YouTube treadmill, I'm afraid.
Please do the summoning ritual for the algorithm gods, otherwise our content will not be served to you.
I will say, yes, the 77th Brigade is in the room with us right now. Well, it's not in the room, you know what I mean?
Hello.
It's probably the chat room with us right now. Hello. I hope the coffee isn't too bad. It's terrible. But no, we're going to be talking about something that was most, I'd say, of Le Beast Sphere and Le Anti-SJW Sphere in some way has talked about it. At least the more British side of it has talked about this. But not in the same, like, we're not just going to go over it and go, look at this! Isn't this terrible? We agree and we should... No, we're actually doing, like, a second level audit.
Yes. We are going to watch the Watchers.
Yes, we're going to watch the Watchers of the Watchers, basically.
But the thing is, now that I realise it, because now we're technically watching BBW, that's not quite as it's not quite as good, but hey-ho.
Fair enough. No, it's for those of you who don't know, we're going to be going over a bit later, to be honest. We've got a bit of a preamble and a few things to go through first. We're going to be going over the Big Brother Watch report that was timed to come out exactly with the... Prevent program report as well, it seems. They were the timing was synchronized.
And I think it's worth as well remembering, if people haven't seen the streams from the last couple of days or the last week or so, that the Prism stream and the social media is fake and gay stream.
Both inform this quite heavily.
Both. Well, not. I think you can watch them without that, but knowing what you know from those streams and the stuff that we covered in there, the things that are not admitted to or are glossed over in the report that we'll get to towards the end just become quite telling as all.
This is, again, we are several layers down in terms of, like, lazy spying, I would call it, because as we talked about in, you know, the Prism stream, they already have the capabilities to do all of this completely in an extra legal manner, and they have never stopped doing it. So the fact that they are almost performatively spying on people in a way that is deliberately visible, and then we feel very strongly helping generate the reports that they both generate the opposition and the promotion. They, as is the case with a huge amount of movements who try to have full spectrum information dominance, they are both sides of the debate. There is no escaping them. So we'll go through some of the hat tips towards that. And some of the just like blaring arrows towards it as well. But the initial story, the way most people found out about this was through this Daily Mail article. I'll get the actually the notes right there. But do you want to intro this one quickly?
I suppose, Ganya, this is Army spied on lockdown critics. Skeptics included our own Peter Hitchens, long suspected they were under surveillance. Now we've obtained official records that prove they were right all along.
Military operatives were part of an operation that targeted politicians and high-level journalists to raise doubts about the official pandemic response. Read more. Critics slam faulty, unused pandemic-era equipment. It's very...
But it's so funny, though, because the first sentence in this article is, a shadowy unit secretly spied on British citizens who criticised the government's COVID lockdown policies. It was neither shadowy or secret, because the... Tobias Elwood came out while the people at the Cobra meetings, you know, that they did as like public press releases and said, yeah, we're doing this, by the way. Don't worry, our misinformation campaigns are running to make sure that you don't end up getting fed all the wrong information about COVID and amongst all the government messaging.
Yeah, it was only really reported on properly by the National Scot, who was a bit bitter about the 77th being used in the referendum stuff.
Yes.
So they did this as a way of throwing their toys out of the pram. No one else reported on it like
this. So this was Nick Carter, not Tobias Elwood. I think it's Tobias Elwood that does it now, is it not?
Yes, it is. But we'll go back to the actual article here.
But again, yeah, the documents obtained by the civil liberties group Big Brother Watch and shared exclusively with this newspaper exposed the work of government cells such as the Counter Disinformation Unit based in the Department for Digital Culture, Media and Sport, and the Rapid Response Unit in the Cabinet Office.
Again, we are not allowed to see these documents.
No.
They have been exclusively shared with the Daily Mail by Big Brother Watch. Big Brother Watch don't show them. They show recreated, it looks like, snippets of parts of them in the report, but there is very little.
Yeah, we'll get
in terms of, again, it reminds me very much of what we talked about with Glenn Greenwald and The Guardian, in that what we are being offered is a very limited hangout version.
Yes.
That will take up the biggest headlines.
I remember, so this is quite a long article, this one, is it not?
It's rather long,
they
yes.
They ram all sorts of stuff in here. Which is, again, it's just another a summary of the report, really, so I don't know if we want to
worry
about the details too much.
The way it was put forward is that...
That's very Crime Watch Peter Hitchens there.
Christopher Hitchens was targeted by the 77th Brigade.
Oh, they can't target him, he's dead.
Sorry, sorry, I reflexively just talk about the better Hitchens. He's people are making fun of him for that, but quite honestly, I think Peter Hitchens is the better Hitchens. But
and even then,
he's not a particularly good Hitchens, as we'll see here by the fact that he went on to write another article basically about himself talking about. But look at first of all, look at the headline of this one though. It talks about again official records, Peter Hitchens. It doesn't talk about the fact that they were spying on you.
No, of course not.
And this is very much about the liberal elite's odd obsession with the right helping to create a British Stasi.
I mean, isn't that the... That's not the edited title, is it? There's the title afterwards gets even worse, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. It does. There's an even worse title. I can't remember which one that was. the woke police. That was that's the from the Prevent report.
That's the one, yeah.
Stuff. The problem is that Christopher Hitchens basically put out what Peter Hitchens basically put out what is a set of excuse wrangling, why are you doing this to me and not the proper people?
Yeah.
Style
argument.
Well,
you go down to the paragraph that caused a big re-edit and apology directly from Hitchens himself. There are no doubt some nutcase neo-Nazis in this country, like the much pierced and heavily tattooed man who taught his poor dog to do the Hitler salute and was fined £800. Urmate Dank.
Urmate and No Mus Manchester alumni.
Oh god, I've just noticed there's a Lizzo thing down the bottom right of the screen.
Oh no! Lizzo steals the show with his sensational medley while Harry Styles opens the ceremony and Wet Leg make their debut as they lead the stars, bringing the house down at Brits. You know what this means, don't you guys? New! Get to bring some new Britain into our regularly scheduled Glow Watch.
But of course, as well, there's the obligatory mention of the Joe Cox murder.
Yes.
Murder.
Murder. It's been a murder. We've got Glow Watch and New Britain going on in the same stream.
Too many inserts.
We are very blessed.
We've broken the budget.
I'm afraid that's all of our effects budget for this year. Yeah, but he talks about the murder of Joe Cox. And basically, what he's trying to do here is make a roundup of... Well,
it's very lazy.
It's very lazy, and he's also saying, well, these people do exist, and this is who you possibly should be targeting, but this isn't an excuse to go after the rest of us.
Mm.
It's a haggling position.
Well, he does talk about the thing above, you know, about extremist activity online, which reference books by mainstream British conservative commentators as key cultural nationalist ideological texts, which is something we talked about ages ago. Hitchens didn't feel the need to mention this 3-4 months ago in that report, which was also reported on by the bloody Daily Mail as well.
Yeah.
Felt no need to talk about it then, but he's talking about it now. Because he's personally mentioned in the bloody Big Brother Watch report.
The Daily Mail and the Times both had semi-neutral reports on the fact that GCHQ, you know, now considers far right to be much bigger threat. Ooh, be afraid, far right thugs,
Wait, what was that someone says in the... Fun fact, Lizzo used to work at Glasgow Airport, kickstarting the jumbo jets.
That's great. But yeah, this article did end up being edited, and we'll have both versions in the notes, since I did manage to catch an archive before it was edited.
But the further point here, to come back to one of the points from Monday's stream.
Yeah.
You know, if this mention of 77th Brigade and what it was up to isn't revelation, it's normalization.
Yes, we were, as we'll show here in a sec, well, as we just showed with the National Scots, we were shown in April 2020, the 77th Brigade were reporting to the cabinet office were assisting the government in countering COVID misinformation. The actual quote, I believe, here is... at the time, an army spokesman said the 77th Brigade do not conduct secret operations. At the briefing, Carter joined Dominic Raab, who is standing in for the Prime Minister as he recovers from coronavirus, and Chief Medical Officer Chris Whitty. Carter and Chris have been the single biggest logistical challenge the Ministry of Defence has faced throughout this 40 years. But no, it's interesting that they came out and basically just said that. It's them getting bitter about the use of it against basically the independence campaign stuff.
Mm.
But like, I don't know, it also feels like doth protest too much in certain ways, because it's very clear that they are not legitimately threatened by the power center of Scotland. I'm sorry. There's another one here from, I believe this is the Times, talking about GCHQ in cyber war on anti-vaccine program from November 2020. Spies tackle disinformation linked to Russia.
Russian vaccine disinformation.
Yeah, but the idea, like we talked about during Operation Earnest Voice back in 2010, the US recognized that any moves in a language that your population can read on the internet have splashback effect. You are by operating online, operating against your own population by definition, because they can access the internet.
Yeah.
It is such a...
But it's sort of an underhanded admission as well, because as we covered last time, I'm not sure if it's specifically in this one, how far the details to get into it, but the GCHQ has been running programs online for years and years at this point for disrupting conversations and any movements they don't like.
Yes, we talked about that. There's a great stuff of like War on Terror Comes Home Here stuff, because it's the spy agency is using a toolkit developed to tackle disinformation and recruit material peddled by Islamic State, according to sources. It is the latest move by cyber agents to counter activity linked to Moscow, whose aim is to exploit the pandemic in order to undermine the West.
And boost Russian interests.
Again, this was reported by the Times, which is supposed to be a relatively right-wing, in quotes, newspaper. And this was reported very neutrally in 2020.
Well, you've got to remember, though, the sort of boomers that read the Times that are into their geopolitics do genuinely think Russia is, like, opposed to Europe as a...
But we have an article here from, you know, The National. We've had other articles. This is just the one that admits the most.
Can we see what's in the rest of this one?
This one, sorry, yeah?
If there's anything worthwhile, that is.
No, basically, it's just boilerplate. The tactics are understood to focus on taking down hostile state-linked content and disrupting the operations of cyber actors.
They here call it state-linked content when it was actually just aimed at anyone who was posting anti-vax stuff.
Well, how do they make that determination? It's almost
like the government source said, GCHQ has been told to take out anti-vaxxers online. Aren't they going to, like, send a bomb through the USB port?
Yeah, there are ways they have used to monitor and disrupt terrorist propaganda. It's just, it's very, we are your masses in many ways. It's very, we will tap into any narrative to push our own power base.
Those Russian disinformation campaigns about the Oxford AstraZeneca vaccine that killed thousands of people. Those damn Russians. They wanted us not to take it.
How dare those damn Russians prevent us from getting myocarditis. There was a British Heart Foundation advert that we saw.
Oh, God.
From, like, the brief bits of, like, broadcast TV that we actually do watch when we watch live sport. Of, like, a 14-year-old girl collapsing of heart failure during a football match and being like, heart problems couldn't get anyone.
Just yeah.
Like, we can now.
Well, but it's okay because we 3D printed her a new heart.
Here's what I saw when I typed in Lockdown 77th Brigade to figure out what was actually in the news cycle about this. And I basically got like the, you shouldn't trust any information about this topic thing that the Google
does. Just in case they've not scrubbed all the right results out yet.
ITV basically pretended in 2015, well, everyone basically pretended in 2015 that the 77th Brigade was being set up, when we know from the British partnership with Operation Earnest Voice that they had operations like this since at least 2010. So just to go through that. Some more background here. There's an email. It's referred to as the Caldwell email. I'm not quite sure why. It might have something to do with some, I don't know. I don't know what, if there's some government minister called Caldwell. But basically, this is from November 2020, about the same time that the press were asking questions about the 77th and why, and you know, why they were involved in pushing things on the British population. Background, if pressed to be used sparingly as CO lead, so communications officer lead. The government spokesman said 77th Brigade are not currently supporting the Cabinet Office with any projects that would involve interaction with British citizens who might be posting disinformation or misinformation.
Complete outright lie.
Yeah, the 77th Brigade Defence Cultural Support Unit targets audience and analysis and web ops capabilities are not being directed at UK population. 77th Brigade do not and have never conducted any kind of action against British citizens.
The Defence Culture Support Unit. Imagine they actually put their role and remit to the defence of British culture.
Yeah. Some limited personnel support, he said, if asked. So basically, you lie.
Yeah.
And if they ask you directly, you can't lie directly to a question like that blatantly. So you go, some limited personnel support is being provided to the cabinet officers in understanding narratives about vaccines overseas. So it's the most, like, limited version you can say.
Yeah. As reported in April, 77th Brigade were previously supporting the Rapid Response Unit in the Cabinet Office. I thought the Cabinet Office wasn't working with any project. Yeah. I suppose because it's supporting the Rapid Response Unit, this isn't quite the same.
With monitoring... It's just like 77th Brigade are not currently supporting the Cabinet Office. Some limited personnel support is being provided to the Cabinet Office.
Brigade were previously supporting the Rapid Response Unit in the Cabinet Office with monitoring and detecting disinformation and misinformation. Any potential or instances of potential malinformation were passed to the Cabinet Office for action. The Brigade is no longer involved in these tasks, which came to an end in the summer. If pushed, support to the Cabinet Office looks at narratives about vaccinations internationally, which might include malinformation in other countries.
I will say, well, I remember hello to John Morton, James Mary, and Aurelian Nautilus Caesar there. They are our members in the chat, and I will take this shameless opportunity to show the fact that we do have memberships. You can support us on a recurring basis if you feel you can. It's one of the better ways to do it. Although I will say that YouTube does still take a cut, so do be aware of that.
Is the other page in that report any good? The emails?
Additional rebuttals to, yeah. Yeah. 77th involvement, if pushed, supports the Cabinet Office, looks at narratives about vaccines internationally, which might include dismiss malinformation or other in other countries. Yeah. So they're stressing the other countries part. Even though, you know, the British people have access to the internet of, you know, of other countries.
Additional rebuttals to the journalists' specific questions. Journalist statement, within the Defence Culture Support Unit, groups that are being deployed include Web Ops, which collect information, understand audience settlements in the virtual domain, and with OSINT policy framework may engage with audiences to influence perception to support operational outcomes. Web Ops, who are not part of DCSU, are not involved in the task or Cabinet Office task. The capability statements are correct, though. Journalist statement, within the DCSU, groups that are being deployed include target audience analysis, which helps understand the cognitive behaviours of audiences, actors and adversaries. Personnel from DCSU have been aligned to the Cabinet Office International Vaccines Narrative Task in an advisory and expertise capacity only. This task does not look at domestic UK audiences, and the TAA capability has not provided advice expertise to date for this task. So, except from all the other ones.
Except from all the other tasks. They're basically saying, it's like the whole thing of like, I was thinking of a different 77th Brigade Task Force.
Those guys are down next door.
Yeah,
you
those
go
guys
see
are
them.
Next door. This coincided with basically a push.
Yeah, that's the one.
This is Doug. I just want to get Douglas Murray because he's such a fucking punchable face. He's awful. But Douglas Murray was evidence from official UK government report shows radical far left group Hope Not Hate is in fact a radical extremist hate group. Well, no, they're actually part of the government. Mm. And they actually may be a wing of the 77th Brigade from what we can gather from this.
Maybe not so much that, but I think as we covered in the report last year, and as we will probably see as we cover the report again this year,
yeah,
that they are not leftist ideologically aligned. They are aligned with the regime functionally first and exist to keep the right contained, not so much policed, but, you know, coalescing it, keeping it together, stopping it fragmenting and splintering off into so many groups that it can't be spied on as easily anymore.
This does show that Hope Not Hate works hand in glove with the Prevent program, but it does so in a way to create this controlled reaction that we're seeing here. So Prevent anti-terror body links Jacob Rees-Mogg to far extremists. Senior Tory rages at system infected by wokery and says situation is dangerously serious, claiming he was targeted because of his support for Brexit. I think this is partially a distraction from, like, driving teenage girls to suicide for downloading the Anarchist Cookbook.
Yeah, but well, that's the thing as well, though, here. It's not that Jacob Rees-Mogg, you know, is mistaken for or, you know, could be considered, you know, it's shameful that these people would put him in the same bracket as these far-right extremists.
Yes.
All of these things affirm the position that if you are above a certain ideological standard, that you are of the extreme right, and that these things should actually apply to you.
What this sets is that Jacob Rees-Mogg and Christopher Hitchens are the acceptable far edge above which you will be targeted rightfully by the Prevent Program, by the 77th Brigade, and by GCHQ. That's what this is, and that's by setting this as the outrage point. They are implicitly, and in some places, like in Peter Hitchens' article, I managed to get myself there, explicitly saying that there are groups that should be targeted in this manner. So what you do is, it's like the fact that the Regulation of Investigatory Powers Act we talked about in the last stream actually codified the fact that you can have unlimited intelligence from abroad. Because by showing what it didn't regulate, it codified in law what was acceptable. And by having a hole in it that big, made that more legal. It's a strange thing to think about, but what isn't said is important as what is as what is said, and what is portrayed as the far edge is where the line will be dragged up to. It's a haggling position. This is meant, as we will go forward, to normalize both the use of the Prevent Program against normal British people who are upset with mass immigration, and the use of the 77th Brigade essentially against you, me, and anyone who is not a mainstream Tory.
Right. Should we keep moving?
Yes, yeah.
Because we do plan to try and keep this one brief.
We do. This report basically said that Prevent was not fit for purpose. It ignored Muslims while punishing British people. Imam spread extremism was funded by Prevent.
Some of the very money that went into Prevent programs that were supposed to be against extremism funded.
Well, the London
extremism.
Bridge attacker was part of the Prevent program.
Well, that's I think in future, maybe at some point later on this year, we might have to come back to the specific instances where
the
Prevent failed, because I think there's some great insights there.
Prevent is, I would go further and say Prevent is meant to foment a lot of Islamic...
Consolidate and crystallise the radicalisation within them.
Yes, and it's also meant to target and, basically bring into the fold many of these people in a slightly more controlled way.
Well, yeah, I wonder if, actually, if you run the statistics, if you are a random person who would meet the standards for Islamist extremism and someone who met the standards for Islamist extremism had also been through a Prevent course, what the higher likelihood is that you commit a terrorist act.
But we'll get on to all that, how dodgy the Prevent program is in of itself in a different stream. I just wanted to mention that this is coming out during this fake outrage, which is a result of the Shawcross report, which you'll probably hear of in some certain news cycles. The Shawcross report is, like I said, its conclusions were more Islam, less Jacob Rees-Mogg, please. And it's what they've done is they've done a classic big ask.
Yeah.
They've targeted everybody, including the mainstream Tories, so they can roll back.
And look like the good guys.
And look like the good guys and say, right, we're rebalancing it to refocus on Islamic terrorism.
Look how fair we
whilst
are.
Massively emphasising, compared to previous years, the targeting of the UK extreme right. It's a classic big ass haggle. And we can see that here with the press release attached to it. Government acts to overhaul Prevent in fight against radicalization. The Home Office is committed to delivering wholesale and rapid changes across Prevent following a major independent review of the programme. Does it actually even mention? Yeah, here we go. Islamist terrorism remains the primary terrorist threat to the UK. Prevent's activity will be proportionately directed to confront this, whilst remaining vigilant against all other threats, including the extreme right.
Yeah. Well, let's just look at the one that it published today, 8th February, alongside the government response. The review makes clear that the threat from terrorism is becoming more complex, with the extreme right becoming an increasing concern. But Islamist terrorism remains our primary and deadliest threat.
The fact that it was ever pretended otherwise is absurd.
Yeah. The independent review recognises the need for Prevent to better understand ideology and the individual agency of people who willingly support terrorism.
So what the Prevent report did, it pretended to tell the government off for targeting normal British people too much, but what it really did was codify a compromise position in which the British government can target at will British citizens who are quote-unquote extreme right, more so than they would have in the past.
Yeah.
Because they're pretending to retool
well,
in a way that is
because they've recognised it as an increasing threat in the world of, ever more complex terrorism.
Yes. That's what this is about. It's about pretending to do one thing whilst wholesale doing another.
Yeah, it's a great sleight of hand.
Yes, and that is what this report is about. We finally got here. Sorry, this might be over now. Over an hour at this rate.
We'll try and get through stuff as we go here, though.
I've got your notes here, so I'll make sure those are on screen because we've got through. Passes. Yep, there we go. Background on BBW. You shouldn't have put it in the notes like
I thought it was
that.
quite funny, I'm afraid.
I'll zoom in because this is.
Big Brother Watch was essentially an NGO coined up by a guy called Alex Dean in 2009. He was David Cameron's chief of staff at the time until 2011. He was also been elected numerous times to what are referred to as commoner positions in the City of London. And he's also a member of the Freedom Association, which is just a classical liberal kind of think tank and pressure group, which you'll see is one of the common traits of a number of the
So
people involved in this
this Big
organisation.
Brother Watch, in quotes, was founded by somebody who was David Cameron's chief of staff. It was founded by
Pretty much
somebody
at the time.
at the time, somebody in government who was involved in creating many of the laws this purports to criticize. They were involved, well, they were in charge of making the
That's
sausage.
interesting, that, isn't it?
Keep that in mind because we'll keep encountering that the people involved in Big Brother Watch are the people who created these
Yeah,
laws.
and the thing for us is not so much we don't have a concrete case here to say that these people are, your avowed enemy, but these people are not on our side. I mean, you go to the funding page on their website, which I believe is the next link we've got
Yes, it
there.
is.
The Open Society Foundation supports them. Lush, that weirdo, like handmade bloody,
Yeah, cosmetics.
makeup and cosmetic shop that pulls ridiculous, animal rights stunts and stuff like
So
that in the
straight
press.
away, when you see Big Brother Watch, what you're really seeing is a financial tendril of the Open Society Foundation. And, it's such a cliche to go, they get Soros money, but they get Soros money.
Yeah, I mean, you can't we can't really do what we do and ignore the fact that this is where the people get their money from. I'm sort of somewhat aware as well that things like the Joseph Rowntree Reform Trust support a lot of things that we wouldn't like
Well,
either.
the Joseph Rowntree Reform Trust has basically become, we talked about them during the some of the green stuff. They become like the nightmare fuel charity supporters in chief. They have a lot to do with adjacent organizations to things like Just Stop Oil.
Yeah.
So you really do see the normal NGO suspects when it comes to the funding of Big Brother Watch, including less Soros
And then we
bots.
get to the next kind of part, which I find really interesting as well, which is the team at Big Brother Watch. There is an interesting assortment of people. And this is not to say that, again, we necessarily have all the answers here, but I can't look at this stuff and not sort of think it's suspicious. We've got for them. We can start off, I suppose, with like the people who are put forward as like the team. You've got a sort of Silky Carlo woman who's purported as the director. She works to further human rights and equality, particularly in the fields of state surveillance, whatever exactly that means. She's totally legit because she's got an award-winning documentary on Netflix. She also was, I think they mentioned it somewhere in her bio, because we'll need to go through the we'll go through these people first before we get to the heed bummers. She was senior advocacy officer for the UK's oldest human rights organisation, Liberty. You will find that almost all of these people are in some way connected through Liberty, which used to be the national thing for civil liberties.
The National Association for Civil
That's the
Liberties.
one. Or the Lib Dem Party, and also a very specific instance of sketchy stuff that happened in the Lib Dem Party. But if we scroll down further, you've got some of their more kind of grunt work. Here's some woman that's works with Lawyers Without Borders. She has also volunteered for organizations that support refugees across Europe, as well as volunteering with us to something about a master's degree.
These are like the people bombing
Yeah,
the Muslims in the
you go further
camps.
down as this weird, look at the nick of this spud. He's
Jake the
currently
Hutt,
digging
yes.
deep into the use of AI algorithms and predictive analytics in welfare and social care because he really cares about the privacy of poor people and benefit cheats. Then you've got Mark Johnson. Just like his bio on its own reads like something we would write as a parody.
Yeah.
Been an advocate for civil liberties and democracy and has worked in parliament, party politics, and public affairs.
These are all ministerial aides and
Yeah.
like policy
Previously, a
wonks.
parliamentary assistant where he worked on domestic and international human rights issues, including opposition to the death penalty and freedom of religion. He also studied at Stirling University, which means I probably ran into him at some point.
Possibly.
Next time you visit, watch your back. You've got Abinaya Murty or whatever. A digital communication,
Mutty.
yeah, digital communications officer. Again, I believe she's also got some sort of human rights thing. You've got this Erland Evans guy who reported extensively from protests during the pandemic. He's also directed and edited documentaries on the conditions asylum seekers were housed in the pandemic. There's another one there again. Pandemic preparedness and response efforts. She's previously volunteered for helping to support refugee and asylum-seeking women in the UK. Suzanne holds an LLM in international human rights law.
So they're all refugees welcome, open borders
But
for.
I think these people are the jobbers.
Yeah,
These
those
are
are the
the folk that
jobbers, yeah.
type the stuff
But
up, and then the director woman is the eye candy for
the
GB
board
News.
is where it starts to get tasty. Here's where
Yeah.
we get to the board
I don't know if
of
maybe you
Big
want to
Brother
read
Watch.
this first and then I will add the other details that I found onto
Yes,
that.
Paul Strasburger, chair of the board of Big Brother Watch. Paul's strong instincts to support the rights of blah, 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 blah. In 2012, 2013, he sat on the Select Committee consulting the draft Communications Data Bill, aka the Snoopers Charter, which would have allowed the collection of everyone's phone calls and internet activity with a little oversight and helped persuade
Because
the Deputy Prime Minister to kill it off. And then it came back.
it's not like both the American and British sort of deep states did a handshake in 2007 that said they were going to do that for each other anyway.
He's a lifetime peer, basically bought it off the Lib Dems.
Yeah, life peerage for the Liberal Democrats, which he's given over £700,000 to, involved in numerous limited hangouts like the Snoopers Charter and the Levinson Inquiry. I mean, for anyone that is, knows anything about UK politics prior to this kind of current period, the Levinson Inquiry was constantly in the news, but went basically nowhere because it was an inquiry that asked whether or not Tony Blair and his mates committed a war crime. The answer, of course, was going to be, well, no, of course they wouldn't do that. But he also very interestingly tried to bail out a man called Michael Brown, who handed over £2.4 million of fraudulent money to the Lib Dems between February and March 2005. Now, there's not really much information about this Michael Brown character. He seems to have disappeared off into the Bahamas or some shit like that in about 2011. But, that's corruption, is it not?
He also put up bail money for Brown, which forfeited when he fled.
Yeah, but this guy's basically engaged in like dirty money stuff for the Lib Dem party. Then we get on to another interesting character, Al Gaff, or Ali Ghaffari, as he seems to be referred to elsewhere, who is supposedly the principal at Ignium Strategy, which when you look it up, all you get is, I believe I've got the link for this here as well, is a company's house data entry thing. It'll be in the document.
I've already opened other ones.
It's you've not, because it should be in there.
Whereabouts are we here?
It's right under his name.
Ah, there it is.
Yeah, but all you get is like a company's house entry for this, and it's got like an address on it to a leasehold in London that nobody occupies.
Basically, it's a fake listing.
Yeah, but when you try and look up Ignium Strategy, you get a company called Ignium Consulting, which when I phoned them earlier on and asked if Ali Ghaffari worked there, they told me that no, he does not, and this is definitely a very different company and totally not related. They were very sure to make that the case. But you can't really find information on this guy. He's not got a Wikipedia page or even like a LinkedIn or anything like that, really.
He was apparently head of membership and fundraising for the Liberal
Well, I
Democrats.
managed to find one thing that puts him there in 2016, but his involvement in the Liberal Democrats prior to that, I cannot find anything about.
Basically, a lot of this guy's stuff has been scrubbed from the internet for no
He
reason.
does have a Twitter, but that Twitter lists him as, it's right at the bottom of the article, yeah. He does have a Twitter, but that lists him as being the director of global communications for a company called Ethstatus, which is
Oops, that's
basically like
not me.
an Ethereum connected Web3 digital wallet kind of thing. It's
Yes.
your precursor,
Well,
your
but he
digital
was
ID.
also
I was
the
going to get to that as well. He was also part of the Open Rights Group. Now, the Open Rights Group is, of course, part of the Open Society Foundations,
It's directly part of it.
another organization that promotes and helps refugees and
He
asylum
so he
seekers.
wasn't I'm going to say the Open Rights Group is not something that was partially funded. It was almost wholly funded by the Soros money. It is a Soros organization. And yet here he is sat on the board of Big Brother Watch
He's
and being
also
quoted by, large amounts of the supposed British right.
supposedly part of Humanist UK, which is
Yes.
some sort of horrendous atheist group that we were able to find small amounts about, but nothing particularly interesting.
So we've got someone who worked for a direct Soros NGO and was head of fundraising for the Liberal Democrats, but apparently is some sort of policy outsider who wants you to have better human rights.
Who is also, in no way linked to the other guy who's like a lifetime peer for the Liberal Democratic Party that washed loads of dirty money for them. Then we've got, there's some of these characters appear to be a collection of like sort of lifelong legal apparatchiks, I think would maybe be the correct phrase.
Yes.
It's just that this is, I think it's Jennifer Robinson is her name. Now, if we go to the case, I just find this kind of funny because you go to like the second page here, and this is some massive big thing about changing human rights law to do with asylum seeking. I think is it points 2 and 3 we might want
Yeah.
here. Claim concerns the United Kingdom's response to the humanitarian crisis in Europe brought about by the mass migration of unaccompanied asylum seeking children. It's not such the first claim. This court definitely constituted another case. Considered the lawfulness of a process established by the Secretary of State. This is all basically like some massive High Court appeal
Yeah.
that lasts years and years and years, never gets anywhere, and basically comes to the conclusion that, oh, well, we need a new framework for human rights, so let's just go and let the UN do it for us.
She was part of the legal team defending Julian Assange, which has become the performative thing for basically everyone
Yeah.
who wants credibility cover for what they do.
But if you scroll down as well, there's some interesting things on here from about her personal profile. Where's the part here about Richard Dawkins and Christopher Hitchens? And yeah. Instructed by Richard Dawkins, Christopher Hitchens, and Sam Harris in 2009, she worked with Robertson on establishing the legal case that the Pope and the Vatican were responsible for crimes against humanity as a result of widespread child sex abuse within the Catholic Church. The case was later submitted to the ICC prosecutor for the Centre for Constitutional Rights.
Ah,
But
what a swizz.
she was also involved in all these phone hacking stories, all these nonsense celebrity stories. And then if you scroll down slightly further as well, in late 2011, up a wee bit, late 2011, she became director of legal advocacy, advising the Bertha Foundation, which I should have looked into, but maybe it's something we can leave for another day. With the task of creating and developing a global human rights and public interest law program. The program aims to support organizations practicing public interest law and to promote movement lawyering and provide a clear career track into public interest and human rights law for young lawyers. In 2013, Robinson spoke at TEDx Sydney entitled Courage is Contagious, which is her, I think, talking about this sort of stuff and UN advocacy in third world countries, but basically creating an entire
That's enough, Jennifer, I think.
infrastructure of like
We got
legal
like
ad
15
I
minutes
know,
to.
legal advocacy. I think that's
We got Mark Littlewood here as well, which is much more interesting. Because he is apparently a lifelong libertarian, but he's part of the Institute for Economic Affairs, which we've talked about
Yeah, he was a
before.
director of the IEA, campaign director at Liberty again between the years 2001 and 2004.
Well,
He was the media head for the Lib Dem
No,
Party
well,
from
no, he
2004 to
interestingly enough,
2007.
he moved fluidly from being the chief press spokesman for the Liberal Democrats and the pro-EU Conservative Party, which was a
Well,
which were
look further
the
down.
same people on in the Conservative Party who were basically like the stop Brexit people. So, what were you
Well,
saying?
Well, I was going to say, look further down. He was president of the UK branch of the Young European Federalists, and then all the Brexit stuff happens like two decades later. You know, it was also, as I said, another person linked directly to David Cameron. Yes. Another person directly linked to the Lib Dem Party.
Under Prime Minister, he was an advisor to the Conservative Party under Prime Minister David Cameron, having previously been in favour of a deeper EU integration. Littlewood later adopted a Eurosceptic position and advocated voting leave in the 2016 election.
And then the Guardian have kind of write up about this as well. And it seems like he's just made a right arse of himself.
Yeah.
He's basically, you know, the IEA already gets sort of accused of being a lobbying group. But he here seems to be suggesting that, well, we'll just open our lobbying up to the US as well.
Basically, again, he's a lifelong Westminster hack who moves fluidly between being a pro-EU Lib Dem and an anti-EU Tory with complete ease. He has no qualms about, I imagine he would say, evolving his position.
Mm.
He is somebody who is quite nakedly non-ideological. So what's
he also just looks like a Simon Pegg character in that picture.
He does, yeah. So what is he doing as one of the board members of Big Brother Watch?
Yeah, then we've got Tim Knox, who is another sort of policy wonk from the Centre for Policy Studies, David Cameron's favourite think tank.
Yes.
Which I think we've slightly covered before as well. But, you know, on their website, they basically tout the fact that, well, everything that the Conservative government did from, you know, 2011 to now has been from us, which is not really something to be proud of. Then we've got, last but not least, Julian Morrison, who's again another lawyer engaging generally in criminal appeal cases, corporate arbitration and privacy, some side work for UN and human rights law, but not as blatantly activist as some of the other folk, I think.
No.
But some of these people are big names in UK sort of like think tank scenes. And others seem to be involved in very dodgy stuff to do with money.
Yes.
So, of course, we should trust them. And also the fact that many of them work for Liberty, or what was referred to before as the NCCL.
There has been a fluid relationship between the Liberal Democrats, the Cameron Conservative government and coalition government, the Tory party in general, and Liberty.
Yep.
And also the Open Society Foundation, it seems. So you've got a brew here of the Lib Dems, the Conservative Party, the Open Society Foundation, Liberty, and various think tanks.
Mm.
That is who makes up Big Brother Watch. So I don't think you could say they are a credible threat to the actual establishment.
And for very briefly, those who are not a fae with Liberty, they have a history of doing things like defending pornographers. I think they demanded in 1943 when Oswald Mosley was released from basically improper imprisonment for being against the war, that he should go back in prison.
Yes.
Because they support civil liberties, which means they want to put people in jail for the things they say.
The NCCL, which is the precursor to Liberty, is most famous for having, as an affiliate and full member for many years, throughout the 1970s and into the 1980s, the Paedophile Information Exchange. And here we have, we'll finish on the last paragraph of this, we'll finish the stream on it, because it's an amazing article. But here we have Brendan O'Neill from Spiked, the UK reasonites, you know, extraordinaires, saying the NCCL Liberty was right to affiliate with the Paedophile Exploitation Exchange. If civil liberties groups won't defend free speech for the unpopular, what's the point of them? Won't somebody think of the paedophiles?
No!
So that is who Big Brother Watch is. But we should probably, if I haven't closed it by accident.
I believe you have.
It's here.
We're good.
We should actually get into the report.
We're going to look at a couple of sections of this sort of somewhat quickly, just to kind of show how, you know, these things that we're talking about begin to appear in the framing of how the report is sort of given to us and the information it does and doesn't appear in here.
Yeah, but to sum up, this was written by, at best, Lulberts, and at worst, policy insiders who were involved in writing the laws they are pretending to be against. What page?
Says, someone's like, what happened to Baroness Chakrabarti? Yeah, she worked for Liberty for over a decade, and it was only in her last few weeks working there that she happened to come out and make a statement about the fact that it had been infiltrated by paedophiles in the 1970s. Infiltrated, she tells you. But yeah, if we go to page 10.
Is that 10 here? Yes.
I made sure to do that way.
Good.
We've got the Counter Disinformation Unit, which is part of the Digital Culture, Media and Sport Department, which are the same people with oversight, of course, over the Online Safety Bill.
Yeah.
Now, the Counter Disinformation Unit is essentially their national correct the record effort, as far as I can tell.
Yes, it is. It's basically them going out and cracking down on the wrong thing. They are presenting a lot of semi-useful information, but in a limited way.
Yes.
Again, we do not have access to the raw documents they supposedly saw. We do not have access to the raw intelligence and the framing of it. You must remember that this is being framed as journalists, you know, solicitors, Peter Hitchens, Rees-Mogg, all of these establishment figures. This is being framed as you should worry about surveillance when it surveils the establishment.
It's the stuff that's purported to be sort of revelations, the third paragraph here. Yeah. Emails between the Department of Health and Social Care and Twitter at the start of the pandemic underline the close relationship between the company and the CDU. In one email, 23rd March 2020, a Twitter staffer told officials that the company is speaking regularly with the DCMS and Disinformation Unit, but gave no more detail about the conversations, suggesting that the CDU worked closely with tech companies from the start of the pandemic. You mean it was working with them well before it, because that was the role and remit of it.
Thank you for the donation there, Kate. Cracking work as usual. Thanks both. FYI, couldn't tip on Streamlabs. Might be worth it. Oh, right, okay. So the Streamlabs link isn't working particularly well.
Possibly.
I will look into that. I've not had anyone say that yet, but it might be a new thing that's developed. I'll have a look at what's going on with Streamlabs because it has been a bit up and down. Yiz keeps recommending we use Element.
Entropy.
Entropy. I might look into just bypassing Streamlabs and using Entropy.
We can put a lot more things in one place doing that, I believe.
Right. But we will rework that then if the Streamlabs isn't functioning.
Thank you, Kate.
Thank you for letting us know, by the way, because we don't know unless you let us know.
But if we...
We might switch to Entropy. So
if we go to page 12 here as well, we get a continuing discussion on the CDU and their...
What I would say is that, like you said, all of this information we kind of already know.
Yeah.
And they don't go into any really of the Snowden stuff that we already knew.
I see, yeah, some of the chat's asking, are you guys in Odyssey? The streams go up to Odyssey after the fact, but we only stream to YouTube because trying to stream to loads of things all at the same time becomes a bit of a pain.
We have an Odyssey automatic backup. We don't actively use Odyssey, but we passively use it and everything is backed up there, so yes.
There is two different sort of AI companies they work with.
Yeah.
And one of them is called Logically, which I've not really looked at to any great extent, but as sort of interesting in its own kind of thing, and there's a point we can make on that later. There's also another one called Faculty, which I think is mentioned on this page somewhere as well. Faculty is a large British AI and machine learning firm that has already signed several contracts with the NHS. Now, they just mention that.
Yeah.
Like... I wasn't aware of this. And if you
under its counter-terror banner, it offers services that allow governments to monitor harmful and illegal content.
Now,
okay,
fair enough. But if we go to the second to last link you've got there up at the moment, which is from Faculty's website, they sort of have this bizarro kind of thing where they're essentially trying to have early warning systems that read all this data and then tell all the healthcare workers that, there's a new pandemic started. And then it's going to... by using its algorithms, reorientate all the resources at the NHS to then provide people better healthcare. Which just seems to me like the kind of peak managerialist worldview. And it's an interesting aside that it's mentioned that they work with the NHS and then no other comment is made.
Yeah, an AI tool sort the Home Office is used to identify extremist content online with automated use to find Dinesh Islamist-related posts. So basically, they go into some of it, but like I said, there isn't much detail in it.
Yeah, we go to page 14 as well.
Cool. Again, there's a lot of interesting tidbits here, but a lot of it is stuff that has been reported years ago, really. This is a collation of stuff. This would be like us going, we have a whistleblower, and then quoting mainstream news sources.
It's just that section there. They're talking about how MPs through the Department of Culture, Media and Sport could, quote-unquote, flag content through a special tool and inform YouTube to look at it and review it. Pretending the fact that GCHQ, as we've mentioned before, is in a partnership with Google to hoover up as much information coming in and out of the internet sea lines as they want. So this whole idea that, you know, they're flagging stuff to catch it is nonsense. What they're doing is they're having another level of priority, another safety net on top.
Yeah.
To sort of, you know, double prioritize something for either monitoring or being deleted, which again is sort of not really being mentioned here. All you're really getting is this idea that, oh, well, they're making recommendations to YouTube to get stuff flagged.
Well, they are, but again, it goes much deeper than that.
Mm.
And they don't go any deeper than that.
And then from pages 18, roughly, through to 25.
Yeah.
You know, you've got examples here from David Davis, if we keep going down. You know, oh, like Parler. Ooh, remember that honeypot?
Yeah.
You know, Julia Hartley Brewer. And if you go further down, there's a Silky Carlo woman, MPs, you know, direct members.
Julia Hartley Brewer.
These people are all journalists. They all either were there when Liberty was started, ex-members of the board, current members of the board.
Talk TV, COVID disinformation.
There's no real sort of normal...
Mark Johnson.
People here.
It's them, like, trying to big themselves up, basically. Monitoring and reporting of Silky Carlisle's interview with Julie Hartley Brewer.
Go further down to... This is the one I find interesting, though. Yeah. Because this is, like, this is at least what we are told is the screen that logically AI gives up when it finds a post that meets certain criteria.
This looks mocked up, though.
Well, it could very well be, but I find it kind of worrying that at no point do they go, well, obviously this logically thing's been set up to be a social credit score. They're just more like, well, no, through a technicality, they've not read the tweet right.
They're basically saying that the nightmare targeting system needs to be refined. Yeah.
You know, instead of just a sort of flat rejection of this idea as a social credit score, we get instead, you know, that is highly inappropriate and indicates that protected speech was monitored and flagged for potential censorship with disturbing casualness.
They need to be less casual.
Yeah, because, of course, once you suggest that there is protected speech, there is then unprotected speech.
Yes.
Now, you know, if people from Liberty believe that paedophilia is protected speech and that very limited criticisms of the regime is protected speech, what is the unprotected speech?
Well, that's where the haggling position comes in. I believe that, again, the undertone of this entire report is that these tools are being used against inappropriate targets, not that these tools shouldn't be used against British citizens
not
at all.
Not Toby Young. Ooh.
Well, yeah, they're going
not the man who sat on his podcast, bloody James Dellingpole's podcast the other day and coped about Ofcom getting rid of one of his mates. And he had to sit there being like, well, at the Free Speech Union, really our concern is the fact that the BBC and ITV should be treated with the same cosh.
Yeah.
Because, of course, in the liberal worldview, once you've accepted that there is some limit to speech, then everyone must live by that limit.
Well, they talk about writer Laura Dodsworth found that across Whitehall Weekly Counter Disinformation Report from June 2021 mentioned the launch of her book, A State of Fear. Her book was covered by outlets including the Daily Telegraph, the Times, and the Daily Mail. Again, they are framing this as being about journalists, about authors, about, you know, what are really the acceptable edge of regime. If you're being reported, if your book is being reported on in the Daily Telegraph, the Times, the Daily Mail, you are not a threat
but
to the regime.
Look at page 29 and 30 as well. We get to, and this, anyone that's read my Substack from last week will recognise the examples. Keep going. And these are emails that the CDU unit at Whitehall monitored about Gracie Bradley, Liberty interim director between October and December of these periods, taking issue with the Met Police's appalling handling of the Sarah Everard vigil.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got, so some of these even just get worse. You've got former Supreme Court judge Lord Sumption arguing that coercive lockdowns were a threat to the survival of liberal democracy. You've got some other woman on bloody Radio 4 having a discussion with some other expert about the very minute specifics of coronavirus modelling. You've got Ian Birrell's column against the Matt Hancock affair. Remember that whole fucking nonsense? And then we've got the Labour peer and former Liberty director, Baroness Shami Chakrabarti.
The Chakrabarti has entered the chat.
Who criticised the government on a host of issues from vaccine passports and draconian police crime and sentencing courts, and then the bill and government attempts to ignore international law and torture. So these are this is the dissent that Big Brother Watch thinks should be bolstered, you know. This is the challenging free speech that we should be defending as a liberal democracy, is the boomer
again,
worldview.
What this report is doing is trying to codify where the acceptable edge of the use of the 77th Brigade and the disinformation unit is.
Mm.
They are not objecting to the use against legitimate disinformation. In fact, the language in here seems to imply the existence of legitimate disinformation from the British and to the British public that should be targeted by the 77th Brigade. Yeah, it is a haggle, as I keep saying.
Page 33. This is the Rapid Response Unit. They sort of briefly mention in here that I think it's in the bottom paragraph on this page.
This paragraph here?
Yeah. They're talking about how in the months after the RRU launched, the Executive Director of Government Communications, Alex Aiken, gave a rare interview outlining the unit's work. He said that disinformation covered by the RRU had included monitoring online networks around the 2018 UK airstrikes on Syria in response to the Douma chemical weapons attacks by Bashar al-Assad's regime, as the groups had claimed that the attacks were a false flag operation by Syrian rebels. That's not true. The 2018 gas attacks weren't real.
Yeah.
So this is, you know, the whole neocon narrative about Syria and Bashar al-Assad gassing his own people, actually in this report is fact.
They've codified it and they've said, oh, they were monitoring what they thought were conspiracy theorists.
Mm. I think at some point as well, in one of the paragraphs, maybe just below this, they talk about how, some people were hired as well by these same people, to produce some sort of messaging for COVID. But it's very scant. It's not like they're doing the grey zone kind of thing. I mean, like, well, here's the unit that worked in the Middle East for decades and now has come back to the UK to create, you know, pro-regime messaging on COVID.
They're doing it. Some other contract signed by the cabinet office can also be connected to the RRU, even if it's not mentioned explicitly in the procurement documents. It's either due to the context of the work or because the purchaser's services will be of use to the unit, even if the deal covers use across the department as a whole. They talk about, you know, blah, 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 blah. With the attitudes towards COVID-19 vaccines being a key area of work for the RRU, those contracts are likely to relate to the unit. The larger of the two deals, worth £2.5 million, is to create a vaccine hesitancy platform for the Cabinet Office, while the smaller, worth £68,000, is for intelligence and media monitoring related to the platform.
The RRU also, because it's the Rapid Response Unit, engages in sort of bust-up operations. It engages in, you know, not just monitoring, but responding as well.
Yeah.
However, there's no mention in here of, again, the GCHQ operation that does the exact same thing.
Media monitoring, constricting official guidelines, vaccines, prevention, cures and treatments, fake accounts, exploitation of COVID-19 for financial gain.
There's a hilarious line as well on page 69. We're going to skip about here because there is so much stuff in this that's just waffle and kind of useless, to be honest.
There's a huge amount of waffle and a huge amount of like stuff that we knew already. And also most of it is them just protesting to them and their mates being surveilled. And we'll get into some roundup stuff later.
Where is... Oh, I've got it's that quote there we're looking for.
Great. They use the phrase "it is alarming" too much, apparently. There we go.
Yeah, it is alarming that we'll go to the top of the paragraph.
Yeah.
These freedom of information disclosures back up our whistleblowers' evidence that in spring 2020, 77 troops were directly involved in information operations and surveillance that caught up people living in the UK time and time again. It is alarming that in a democracy, the government deployed soldiers to monitor its own people, even if that was not the direct brief.
It's again, it's such a simpering, limited hangout.
Mm.
Once you know about, like, what we talked about during the prison files, what we talked about during the War of Terror on Terror Comes Home stuff, what they've said publicly, it's like, of course the UK military is targeting with psychological warfare its own population. It's been happening since there was a intelligence and signals, signet capability of the British military. It has always happened, and it has ramped up massively since 9/11. Propose that this is an exception, that democracy works as intended up until specific instances like this, is carrying water for the regime.
Mm.
It is engaging in a haggle, and it is saying that as long as you address these specific, small, narrow, piffling things that we see wrong with your information machine, we're willing to ignore the rest of it.
Yeah.
Because it's the price we pay for living in a liberal democracy.
Yeah, and we go to page 82 and 83, which is the sort of last thing we'll look at from here.
Yeah.
Which is their RICU. I can't remember what's the exact name. They've got a few pages up, what the anagram stands for. He's going to look it up. The Research Information and Communications Unit. Which on a face of it sounds like sort of the most milquetoast one, but seems to have been involved in some very, very interesting things. And I would love to know more. I think is it on the next page that you talk about? Yeah. In 2016, the advocacy organisation CAGE claimed that several organisations were linked to the RICU and an extensive report on the programme. These older organisations appeared to be more akin to community groups and campaigns rather than social media outlets. Some of the other alleged front organisations and campaigns for RICU included Armed Forces Muslim Association, Families Matter, Help for Syria, Faith Associates, Imams Online. Now, it seems to me the RICU unit is like a direct source of agitation for the sake of measuring the response they get.
Yes.
I mean, that seems to be when they go down here, they talk about, you know, This Is Woke was one RICU front created by a media company contracted by the Home Office, posing as a media company that discussed issues around Islamic identity, aimed at young people, which concealed its links to the government. Content in the RICU's front social media media accounts appears to have stopped suddenly around the time the Home Office links were made public. However, older posts are still available. I think if we scroll down a little bit, they've got a little bit more on this as well. Yeah, the Instagram content was often vapid with little depth. It included unattributed quotes about Islam being compatible with feminism in the context of the hijab, a list of Muslims named on the New Year's honours list, and inspirational lines from figures such as Malala Yousafzai and Nelson Mandela. On Facebook, the page was given a tagline, "Woke is a diverse social news platform, keeping you in the know about issues which matter to you most."
It's
essentially, they're taking a big woke stick and poking the muzzies to see what happens. Well,
they're also like very, very obviously engaging in fake woke messaging.
Because they see
in those terms to contain and also agitate a community of people.
But they see a media platform.
Yeah.
I look at this and I see NGO.
Yes.
I see the sort of NGOs that people on the board and the other elements of Big Brother Watch actually work for.
Yes.
Which go towards putting, you know, content in front of non-Brits' faces to get them to immigrate here so that they can get easy legal support.
Well, it also begs the question, how many of these woke containment organisations are aimed at the British population and specifically people like us?
Well, yeah, no, this is the thing that boggles my mind, is how far does this go? I would be happy to look at the entire woke sort of NGO and media complex in the UK as a giant RICU operation.
It's massively astroturfed, and we have a perfect example of them using, you know, this is woke. It's security state astroturf. The woke people are in military uniforms, and they work at the 77th Brigade.
Mm.
This is some of the direct proof that that is true. So we finally come round to get some like actual solid evidence of the stuff that's obvious, is very obvious, but we haven't really had direct evidence of it until now. So,
but the whole general tone of the report, is that the actions of the 77th and other units were sloppy, not as opposed to wholly improper.
Yes.
You know, it's not about how they did it, it's how they went about doing it.
The messaging here is not that the 77th Brigade should not exist. The what is said here isn't even saying that the 77th Brigade shouldn't be used against members of the British population. It uses that as a fig leaf and then goes on to talk about how
journalists, it should have been, MPs, people who work for NGOs, these shouldn't be under the ire of these units and their systems of monitoring and flagging, which answers or asks the obvious question, if not them, then who?
It does not object to the existence of these control systems. It is attempting to reform them, which is what we talk about when we talk about the myth of like the 80s and the end of the post-war consensus. They are trying to make the machine more palatable. They are not trying to destroy the machine. And that is how they operate. You know, these people are policy insiders. They are think tank men. They worked for the David Cameron government. They worked inside the Liberal Democrats, their lifetime peers, their financial wonks, their policy wonks. They work for the Open Society Foundation. They have, you know, opaque relationships with weird digital, you know, crypto wallet companies and all of the, they have 15 different jobs and 15 different income streams, most of which seem to come from either Whitehall or NGOs. And these are supposed to be the people who are safeguarding us.
Yeah.
These are
the people we should trust.
Are actively in the machine.
I think that hopefully that's not cut out properly there. We just had a little OBS moment.
There was an OBS, like a secondary blip there. I'll double check the YouTube back and it seems to be fine.
Yeah, nah, people are saying we're there, so that's good. But the scope of allowable assent, according to Big Brother Watch, is incredibly narrow as well. Any sort of genuine dissent against managerialism, the empiricist worldview, pluralism and democracy. You know, this is, of course, as you said, given the number of people and the types of people involved in it, clearly not a coincidence.
No. What they are doing is nimbling around the edges. And they are making a case as a semi-disgruntled establishment elites that they shouldn't be involved in this dragnet that is targeted at the rest of us. And the reason I find this report in the whole so abhorrent is because the tone of it is not the government is using their crushing weight of power against you as an individual. They are coming down from on high and with a massive fist they are crushing you. What they're saying is, this is happening to me and my think tank friends. This shouldn't happen to us. Well, we're not peasants.
Well, it's them almost kind of making a reminder somewhat that even though these were the people who supported values, you know, some of them literally 50, 60 years ago when they were pushing who knows what through Liberty and the NCCL, is that, well, we're not the radicals anymore, guys. We're the regime too. You know, we're established. We're part of the institutions. You can't get rid of us. And it makes you wonder, you know, how much of the information from the various freedom of information requests are actually put in this document? We're never going to know. I mean, who knows what they asked the 77th people for and all these different units and how many emails they did and didn't get from Whitehall. I mean, are we just to presume that everything that's in this report that we've got in front of us is everything they got?
No. Again, what they have done is they've engaged in a very limited version of showing us what a supposed whistleblower, who may or may not exist. I would be willing to say that this has the possibility of being created in partnership with the 77th Brigade themselves.
Well, yeah, that's what I suggested to you earlier on, was that at best what this is the 77th's PR brigade, who are making the sort of the revelations have the softest landings possible. But
again, it's what we talked about, what is no longer revelation. They announced this during the pandemic, in quotes, during the lockdowns, multiple times. They announced that GCHQ and the 77th Brigade was coming for you if you didn't want the vaccine. That was implied in the messaging. So the fact that they're coming out and saying that, look, guys, we found evidence that the 77th Brigade is coming for you if you spoke out about that. They already said that. They are doing what they said they would do. and then we are getting a controlled reaction to it, which mostly involves the British establishment and haggling about who should be targeted, not whether or not that the UK should have a massive psyop engine that works to perpetuate the agenda of the elite class in perpetuity.
I suppose we shan't labour the point. I think we wish to close out with the snippet from Brendan O'Neill here. Whenever anyone ever says to you anything about freedom of speech, if you don't mind me reading this here.
But yeah, this is... Sorry, I went to the wrong thing. This is the freedom of speech... I'm a classical liberal argument taken to its logical extreme.
Yeah.
This is what happened partially at the original Shieldings event, if you were there. There was quite a famous instance, which we won't talk about in detail, in which somebody said that, no, they would not, in fact, burn the pedophile box.
And whole room full of people disagreed with him for some reason. But
yes.
That's by the by.
That's by the by, yes.
It's easy to have a pop at Harriet Harman, even easier to mock the Daily Mail for being hypocritical. Let's now ask some hard questions. Do you support the right of paedophiles to set up an organisation? No, not a child sex ring, but a campaigning organisation. Do you support the right of paedophiles to publish their ideas and their written fantasies? Do you support the right of paedophiles to campaign for a reduction in the age of consent? Do you support these rights even though you find the content of the material being published and the arguments for a lower age of consent to be deeply immoral and perverse? I am now quoting Brendan Neal. I answer yes to those questions. How about you? I am no longer quoting Brendan O'Neill. I see everyone in chats like in a sort of pantomime manner, like no to all the questions. I'm glad we didn't even have to ask them to do that. I appreciate that.
But that is the position of Spiked, of the supposed far ragged edge of the right-wing libertarian Tory voting public. This is what it boils down to if you still put yourself in the liberal framework.
Yeah, is this and the Russian Jew from Trigonometry calling everyone Nazis?
Yeah, I will say that, you know, within this framework, within the people in Big Brother Watch, within Brendan O'Neill, Spiked, you know, Peter Hitchens, all these people, that, you know, freedom is when you have pedophile parades. The more pedophile parades you have, the more free you are. Good night.